Lord God, please let what I say come from you, through me, and out to others. Amen. Please be seated. You know, the scriptures this morning are full of wisdom and advice from the Jewish community. And I was thinking of examples of modern-day advice givers, and Dear Abby and Ask Ann Landers immediately popped into my head. So do you know that the two women behind those syndicated columns were twins and that they were also Jewish? According to the Jewish Women's Archive, both columns were characterized by a straightforward tone, practical advice, and a firm but modern moral sensibility, and that both women used humor, including sarcasm and one-liners, in their responses. So today, all the scriptures seem to be giving us wisdom and advice. And frankly, I think we could use a pretty strong dose of wisdom and advice these days. When I was attending Catholic school, I had one of my religion teachers who was really creative give us a neat way to study the Bible and to study scripture. She called it splitting scripture. Now, what that means is you take a Bible in your hand and you open it, or split it, as she called it, and wherever you land, that's where you begin your study. And so she always said, I liked how she put it, she said she felt that that opened up the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to choose the reading. Well, I so really loved doing this that I still do it today, and I would say that all of you should try this sometime. Because for me, at least, anytime I do this practice, whatever I happen to open to, it almost always falls exactly where I am and tells me what I need to hear. It hits some point in my life every time I do this. So that's how I was first introduced to Sirach. Now, Sirach is actually most commonly known as the book of the Wisdom of Sirach. And it was written about 200 years before Jesus by scribe Ben Sira of Jerusalem. It is, in fact, the largest wisdom book of antiquity to have survived. So I'm thinking about these things. In order to explore the wisdom and advice in Scripture, I decided to merge this concept with Dear Abby letters and the Book of Wisdom. So I'm going to read you from an advice column that I have decided to call Dear Sirach. Dear Sirach, it's tough to keep the commandments, and I want to be happy, so a few lies and some five-finger discounts that make life easier. Should I really choose to lead a blameless life? Sincerely, Mischievous in Mesopotamia. Dear Mess, if you choose, you can keep the commandments, and to act faithfully is a matter of your own choice. Choices have consequences, my dear, and you need to think long-term, like eternity long. Earthly things are temporary. Choose wisely. Dear Sirach, I'm trying to make a career choice. Do I go work in the smokehouses, or take to the sea and become a fisherman, confused in Capernaum? Dear Confused, he has placed before you fire and water. Stretch out your hand for whichever you choose. Both have their advantages. Just be careful not to get burned or drowned. Dear Sirach, lately I've been depressed and I'm not sure life is worth living. Hamlet from Haifa. Dear Hamlet, before each person are life and death, and whichever one chooses will be given. Be or don't be, but for me, I choose life. Choose to live into the wonder of all of God's creation. Embrace the beauty all around you and live as a child of God, perfectly created to be unique and loved. The choice is yours. Do not choose to die to the busyness and chaos that would steal away our joy in life. Follow God's commandments, and peace and love and kindness will be your companions on your journey. Dear Sirach, my parents tell me that God knows everything, but I'm just not sure. I read your column faithfully. What do you say about God? Yours, Doubting Thomas the First. Dear Tom, for great is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and sees everything. His eyes are on those who fear him, and he knows every human action. God is all-knowing and all-seeing, and you cannot hide what you do from God. Stay on the path that God illuminates for you, and you will not know shame in this life. You should put your faith in God, by the way, and not in me. Dear Sirach, my betrothed was really nasty to me, and I caught him stealing my father's work tools. He said God told him to do those things. Should I believe him? Clueless in Tiberias. Dear Clueless, he has not commanded anyone to be wicked, and he has not given anyone permission to sin. God gives us maximum support in all that we do in this life, but that does not include support for selfish and for sinful actions. The amount of good that we can do with God's help is limitless, but the support ends at self-serving tasks. The epistle sounds a little bit more like scolding than it does advice giving, but it points the reader in the right direction, lest they stray from that path Jesus wants us all to take. Paul's pretty straightforward in his comments about what we should be doing, and he refers to the readers of his day as children, people of the flesh. They just don't get that Jesus broke down those old patterns of being, which means that we follow the strongest person in the pack. We're meant to be one people, and through baptism, we are one people. The message to stop focusing on worldly issues and to focus on the kingdom, it's difficult to understand. It was difficult for them. It's difficult for us. Because living in the moment and sometimes just surviving everyday life, it's a challenge. We want to have a kingdom view, but we can't escape being creatures of habit. The gospel advises us well. You've heard what it is said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder or commit adultery or bear false witness. These are all really good pieces of advice, but Jesus takes it further. And he tells us, don't assume that when you're taking your gift to the altar, it's going to be okay if you're bearing grudges against other people and not forgiving them. We should not stay angry. We shouldn't hold a grudge. God is not going to be pleased with what we have to offer if we are not doing what he fully wants us to do. Reconcile. Forgive each other. That's what's required of us. And we really need to live not just according to the law, but according to the spirit of the law. And that means we have to love each other. We need to love each other. They will know we are Christians by our love. The next part of the gospel speaks to what seems to be happening these days. Because what used to be understood by us as good versus evil, black versus white, all of a sudden everything is 50 shades of gray. All these scriptures are trying to remind us to live our best lives, to be our most authentic selves, to trust God, to do the right thing, to help each other, and to know that when we do focus on the work of God's kingdom, we're going to be surrounded by love and support. We may not be protected from the laws of nature, but at least we're going to be able to sleep at night, knowing that we're doing everything we can to make the world a kinder, more tolerant, wonderful place. We are human, and free advice is not always followed. I mean, we often dismiss free advice. But in this case, I think we really have to pay attention to what the scriptures tell us today. We have to follow it. So don't murder. Everybody out there, don't murder. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't make other people into idols to follow. Listen to your head. Listen to your heart. Do the right thing. And don't hold grudges. Don't hold grudges against people. Forgive them. Move forward. A better life awaits us when we do that. Keep the commandments and act faithfully and choose life. Wash yourself clean in the waters of baptism. Renew your vows to resist evil and to uphold the dignity of all people. In a few minutes, we're going to pour, and then through the waters of baptism, we're going to welcome Nat and Flora into our Holy Cross family as new brothers and sisters in Christ. If I had to leave you with any piece of advice, it would simply be this: love God and love each other. Try and be the best version of yourself that you can be. See Jesus in other people. I think it's our everyday encounters. I think that's what shapes our world. Be kind. Be empathetic. Trust in the truth and the life and the way. You know, in baptism, we are seeking the holy, and then we seek the holy the rest of our lives. We continue to seek it on our journey. Maybe if we just stopped for a moment and looked around us, we'd realize that the holy is everywhere. I have only one more thought to share with you. It is a poem. It's titled Small Kindness by a poet from New England named Danusha Lamaris. She wrote, "I've been thinking about the way when you walk down a crowded aisle, people pull their legs in to let you by. Or how strangers say, bless you, when someone sneezes. It's a leftover from the bubonic plague. Don't die, we're saying. And sometimes, when you spill lemons from your grocery bag, someone else will help pick them up. Mostly, we don't want to harm each other. We want to be handed our cup of coffee hot and to say thank you to the person handing it, to smile at them and for them to smile back. For the waitress to call us honey when she sets down the bowl of clam chowder, and for the driver of the red pickup truck to let us pass. We have so little of each other now, so far from tribe and fire. Only these brief moments of exchange. What if they are the true dwelling of the holy? These fleeting temples we make together when we say, here, have my seat. Go ahead, you first. I like your hat. Amen."